Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Glad to have you with us on this Tuesday edition of Sports Daily here for another hour. Jake Ballbrock, TJ Cleland. We'll get you ready for the college football weekend coming up. A couple other headlines we want to get to as well. It's all What's on Tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, featuring Oktoberfest, the deeply copper-colored German-style lager that will make you click your heels, grab your stein, and follow the copper brick road to the land of Oktoberfest, Wichita Brewing Company, pizza and beer made here. I could go for an Oktoberfest right now, kind of a fall feel as we kick the fall off with a bunch of rain here today. Thanks for watching us, by the way, on 12 News Connected. Thanks for watching us on Facebook, YouTube X. You can leave all your comments there. We can get to them. You can leave us voice messages if you're listening to us on the Odyssey app. Just go in there and click that, and there's a little microphone. You can leave us a voice message. It's a pretty cool little feature as we make our way along. Another big headline, TJ, this is a bummer. Fred VanVleet could miss this entire season for the Houston Rockets. No idea what happened. Out of nowhere, off the top ropes, we get the report that Fred tore his ACL and could miss the entire season for the Rockets. Just signed a new $50 million extension. He has averaged last year 15 points, about 6 assists a game for Houston. And it's just a huge, huge bummer. He just stepped into a role for the Players Association, like all these things, and then just out of nowhere, Fred might miss the year. Houston's got NBA title aspirations.
He was going to be a huge part of what Houston did. They just got Kevin Durant as well. I mean, that was a team that's going to compete for an NBA title, and it sucks as a Rockets. If you're a Rockets fan, that's going to suck to lose Fred VanVleet, and it sucks for us because Fred VanVleet was going to be a major part of that, have a ton of games on national television, really showcase what he's done throughout his career. So, yeah, that sucks.
Now, it's been, you know, potentially misses, could miss. The reporting's been a little vague, so we'll have to see on that. The recovery on that is better than it used to be, so I suppose there's still a chance he could come back late in the year. We don't have a lot of insight into what exactly happened, what kind of tear. There are different kind of tears. Most of the time we hear about that stuff as football injuries, right? But we'll just have to see. Either way, though, the former Shocker, that just sucks because I really do think they had a shot to win a title. They may still, but you certainly wanted to see Fred be a part of that. as we make it. But that injury happened yesterday. We'll keep our ear to the ground. Well, we got the news of the injury yesterday. Don't know when it happened, but we'll keep our ear to the ground and see if we get any more information on that as it pertains to Fred VanVleet. Real quick, we'll go back to Monday Night Football because we're turning the page to college football in our next longer segment, TJ. The Detroit Lions, you know, we made this a lot, the discussion we had in the last hour about the Ravens going to 1-2, now 1-2 versus 1-2 next week against the Chiefs, all of these things. Man, I got to tell you, the Lions drew that up exactly how they wanted to. The running backs had great games. They were both effective. Jared Goff was efficient. They picked up the big first downs late. The offense looked incredible. The defense, not as much, but they had 7 sacks, which is, you know, if you can sack the quarterback 7 times, maybe you can give up a few more points. But as much as it, you know, we look at the Ravens as far as next week, because we obviously care they're playing the Chiefs. Does that reestablish the Lions for you?
I mean, with the win last night, probably. I mean, that's a huge win for them. It's crazy. You brought up the running back play. It's so wild what they're able to do with the 2 running back system. And really, nobody else can find that level of success that the Detroit Lions have. I can't think of anybody off the top of my head that is as solid as a 1-2 punch as David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. I mean, speaking of fantasy football purposes, if you even have – I mean, David Montgomery can be a running back 1, which is unreal to share a backfield and be able to have that kind of production. And he was the leading rusher last night thanks to a 72-yard run. So, yeah, it's huge for the Lions. I'm not even sure what their schedule looks like. I'd have to look at that. But it's huge down the stretch of what that NFC is going to look like. I don't really know who the real contenders in that are yet. Obviously, the Packers are a name that keeps getting thrown around. But, I mean, it feels – to me, like it's the Lions NFC to lose at this point.
Whew, well, they lost to the Packers. Packers would have something to say about that.
If you were to pick somebody to go to the Super Bowl, I mean, you picked the Lions. Do you feel you still feel good about that, I imagine?
You picking them over the – I picked them. What about the Eagles? Right, the Eagles have something to say about that.
It's true.
What about the Rams? Rams probably have something to say about that right now, who should have beaten the Eagles. Blocked field goal week 2 of the NFL, by the way, which we haven't even talked about the last 2 days, how wacky it was. Worst beat, one of the all time bad beats, the Eagles over the Rams. But like, yeah, I think they, if nothing else, they're at least back there where we had them. So I picked them anyway. I think that I would like to see their defense play a little better than it has. I know they had all the sacks yesterday. That's fine. But they still gave up 30 points. I do. The reason I picked them to go to the Super Bowl is because they get Hutchinson back. I think he's a baller. And I just kind of keep – like the offense to me, outside of the Ben Johnson factor – and I said this before. Like everyone – like the coordinators is a big deal. I get it. But Dan Campbell is the reason that the Lions are the Lions, right? That's a Dan Campbell thing. Those coordinators are great, and I think they're both going to end up being good head coaches. But Dan Campbell is the guy there, and he didn't go anywhere. So, yeah, it might take a minute, but I did anticipate their defense getting better. I'm not sure that I would say it's there yet. So that's what gives me a little hesitation. I would still pick them, but when you look at the defense the Packers can play, when you look at the defense the Eagles can play, when you look at the defense the Rams can play, that's where the Lions have to catch up. Now, I will take the Lions offense over all of those teams, mm-hmm. every single one of them. It does make me feel better about putting them in the Super Bowl, for sure, watching them play the way they played last night.
Yeah, I'd say that the Eagles defense is just the biggest hesitation, I would say, thus far. You know, the Eagles offense is obviously can be really explosive. You know, so far this year, we really haven't seen it to that level. But, that I mean, that's by scheme. It's not by, you know, anything else. So, those are the two, I'd say. You know, obviously, that matchup, whenever that game happens, is going to be massive. I imagine that's probably – I mean, that could be an NFC Championship game preview whenever it gets to that point as well. We talked about a potential Super Bowl preview with the one that we just saw last night. So, it's going to be awesome. This feels like – it's weird. Like, we were talking to Wyatt Thompson yesterday about the Big 12, and he was saying you can kind of feel that there's, like, some floating to the top and some floating to the bottom of the Big 12 of how it's going to line up. Like, across the NFL right now, like, I mean, there feels like there's, like, 12 really, really good team. Like, it feels like it's a pretty deep, like, it's nobody's running away with this. Do you agree with that?
Well, no, nobody's going to run away with it. Nobody's going to run away with it in either league. There's not going to be.
Heading into years past, I mean, it, like not last year, but I mean, 2 years before, I mean, it's like, well, Chiefs are the team in the AFC. Like, they're the ones that are going to go do this. Or it's like, oh, like the Eagles are the team in the NFC last year or 2 years ago. I mean, when, or 57, whatever Super Bowl that was. Like this year, it feels like, I mean, there's legitimately like six teams in each side that could go to the Super Bowl.
Correct. I agree with you. I agree with you. And we kind of felt that way going in.
Yeah.
I think the Bills probably end up with the most wins, if I had to guess. What is the fewest number of losses we'll see across the NFL this year?
Oh, man. I mean, 3-4?
I was going to say 4.
Nobody's going to go 15. I don't think anybody's going to have 15 wins. Like,
I don't either. I think the Eagles probably and the Bills represent the best chances to do that. The Bills, certainly because of the division they play in. The Eagles, I predicted Washington would take a step back this year. Giants aren't any good. The Cowboys can't play any defense. So the Eagles probably also have a shot. They've also survived some of their most difficult games, Chiefs, Rams, out of division. So I would say those are the two teams. Can they keep it to 3? Yeah, maybe. It's possible. But again, even with that, I'm with you. The reality is you're at least 4 deep in each conference, right? No matter how you stack them up in the NFC, I would say it's some combination of Lions, Packers, Eagles, Rams right now. And I know that I'm not talking about records. I'm talking about when the push comes to shove. And I'll put the Buccaneers in there. They got to get a little healthier. They've got some injury scares now to deal with. They're going to be out without Godwin and Mike Evans probably for a little while. But they deserve to be in there. And then on the other side, it's the same cast of characters it always is, right? It's the Ravens, it's the Bills, it's the Chiefs at minimum. It's probably now also the Chargers. And we'll see if the Bengals can get Joe Burrow back in time, if they can survive the time without him and get him to the postseason. But it does feel way deeper than it has in recent years, for sure, where it felt like it was either the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Bills, and maybe the Eagles to lose. And that was it. That, you know, it's going to be deeper than that. We're going to get frustrated trying to bet the NFL this year. Oh, it's going to be very hard, I think.
That's the point that I made about the Chiefs-Giants spread, is that, like, the NFL is always hard to bet, in my opinion. Like, I like betting on college football more because you get the 22-point lines that you can try to leverage around. Like, the NFL is always hard to bet. This year, it's, like, literally a pick. Like, we've seen pick-ems across the board, like, 3 points because of the home field, and that's it.
Man, I am so far the opposite. I don't enjoy betting college football nearly like I do the NFL. And that's not because of any – it's just it's fun to bet the NFL. It's fun. I just missed it last night, man. Just missed it again. Zay Flowers needs just a little bit more. Just a little bit. I did hit one bet to pay for the week, so it's all right. We'll come back. Let's talk about that college football weekend as it pertains to K-State KU when we return.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet, bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
You want to win some HGO? You can do it right now. Text the keyword T to the short code 20357. That's T to 20357. That'll get you a free cup of iced tea on us at either East Wichita, West Wichita, or in Derby. Try the all-new caramel apple iced tea. Try the all-new poppy creations while you're in there. The free tea won't qualify for these, but they are delicious. The root beer floatin' or the orange dream poppy collaborations. Go to HDO, check them out. T to the short code 20357 for your chance to win. All right, welcome back into Sports Daily, everybody. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland here. TJ, let's get you ready for the college football weekend. It is going to be the first full. We're kind of in that Big 12 groove right now. We look around the league. TCU looks really good. BYU, we're ready to get a look at. We've seen Iowa State in league action. Texas Tech, who is on a bye this week, looked very good against Utah last week. I was with, I think, four nieces and nephews who were all at Tech this weekend watching that game. We have some family connection to the starting quarterback there who did leave that game because of injury. And then the backup comes in and is awesome. Their defense looks good, though. They are a real threat in the league. And so then we look at Kansas and Kansas State. Can either of them still be threats in the league? K-State, believe it or not, is still a six-point favorite at home against UCF, who has not lost this year.
I don't understand.
Well, I understand. I do understand. I do understand it. Are you going to make him a six? What are you going to make him a 6-point home dog?
I'm not going to make. I mean, they could be favored by like one or like this should be a pick 'em if you like K State. But like, why is K State favored by a touchdown when they've only beaten an FCS team?
I think it is such a perfect like explanation as you look at it and still scratch your head.
Exactly.
They should be better than they are, right?
Yeah.
They have 100%. Not been. Nope. So which is it? And I think the line still indicates to us that coming off of a bye at home, Vegas is confident in the talent on this team.
This is the Chiefs lines from the Super Bowl 58 season a couple of years ago, whenever they – I mean, they were like, what were they, the 5 seed or something like that? And they kept losing games, and they were favored by 8 every time they played. And it's like, they haven't covered this number ever.
Well, the Chiefs have historically – last year they were actually decent at it, but you know, like there is a perception factor there for sure. So it is like, well, which is it? Is it that they're just playing poorly or are they not very good? I still think they're just playing poorly. The good news is yesterday, Chris Klieman said he was hopeful, I believe was the word he used, that Dylan Edwards would be back to full speed this weekend. They clearly need him in that offense. Badly. I don't know if that helps Avery Johnson. It'll help the play callers, I hope. I hope they design in a boatload of read options because I don't know how else to get Avery going other than to design the plays for him to get going. He has shown us now that just in scrambling, like he's not taking off. Okay. Don't know why that's happening, but let's see if you're the coaches, let's see if we can make it easier. Let's just run some read options with Dylan Edwards. You make the call, split second. Don't overthink it. If it's there, take it. If not, go run. Like that's what I would like to see the offense do some of this week, just to try to get him in that, you know, break whatever block is there from him taking off with the football and using those, you know, deer skills that he has to make this a more dynamic offense.
I agree. They have the talent to where, like I always bring up, like,
except maybe not on the offensive line.
Yeah. The argument that we always talk about offensive coordinators, you know, a lot of people have been talking about Colin Klein at A&M and everything like that, but like, my mind always goes to like what we saw at KU when Andy Kudelnicki was there. Like, obviously that was an extreme. They did a lot of weird stuff, but K-State has like your fastest player on your team is your quarterback and your second fastest player on your team is your running back. Like they need to be doing the weirdest stuff, like direct snaps, read options, flea flicker, literally anything you can do just to showcase those two and just make the defense confused. But K-State as it sits doesn't have anything that can do that. And that's part of their problem too. And I think that's part of the problem of why we don't see Avery run more is because they know that like, I'd say there's a lot of scheming that goes into playing against K-State of saying like, we're going to make him beat us with his arm. And that goes into it. And then I think that Avery probably questions that a little bit. And then there's a lot of, you know, mental parts of it going in between the coaching staff and Avery as well. So I think that getting Dylan back is going to help at least add another facet to, like you said, a read option. If you're a linebacker, you know, which of the fast guys is going to have the football, it at least adds that element into it and will open something up. And if they run the ball 40 times and that's what they need to do, then find something that works.
Find something that works is I do think there are coaching challenges because they're not finding something that works. Right. I don't know how else are you going to look at that? They have to do something else. You got to do something because it's not working. And unless you're ready to like move away from Avery Johnson, which of course nobody is, you better figure out how to best utilize Avery Johnson.
That's the part about my argument there is that like typically teams try to simplify whenever they're having struggles. K-State has been as simple as it comes. Like they can't simplify anymore with their offense. It looks like they haven't ran the RPO, and I think that's in part of Dylan not being out there. Last year, they were such an RPO-heavy team, And this year, it literally, I mean, Avery's been a pocket passer. Like, it's been a simplified offense. And so it's like,
you think they need to complicate their offense? Yeah,
yes, which is insane to say, but they do. Like, there's no moxie about the offense at all right now.
Yeah, no, I think it's fair. I think it's
the
fair.
The hard part is when you have an offensive line that can't stabilize a complicated offense like that.
That has been the biggest challenge. It's what Wyatt Thompson's been pointing to us for a long time, is that the offensive line is where he is kind of putting this attention. And that will be the challenge. That's why when you look at a line like that, you're like, ugh.
I'll even throw this in there. The argument about Dylan coming back, I think that a more influential injury situation is George Fitzpatrick, the offensive lineman from Ohio State that had the medical episode in the preseason, who hasn't been able to play. You know, he's trending upward. We'll see him at some point this season, it sounds like. But, I mean, he was going to be a starter as soon as he walked in the building. And Climate, Big 12 Media Days, was telling us about how awesome he's been at helping anchor down the offensive line. So that's something that isn't getting a lot of talk about because he hasn't put shoulder pads on because of everything that's been going on. So if they can, you know, get him back eventually, maybe that's something else that they need as well.
Meanwhile, UCF has beaten the brakes off of their last two opponents, NCAT and North Carolina. They also beat Jacksonville State. So they haven't played anybody really, but they've looked impressive in every way that they can, essentially. So that line's all over the place. I've seen it as low as 5. I've seen it as high as 6. It's kind of bouncing around everywhere. If you're going to take the Cats, obviously go try to find the best line. But I've got zero expectations at this point. Just go play better. Just go play better. But we'll make our picks Friday. That's going to be a hard one.
We talk about the hypotheticals of wins or losses for the Chiefs that we've done the past 2 days. How much better would it feel to have a K-State win this week? Like, how much does that settle your stomach a little bit if you can beat UCF?
But if they play well in a win, and they look,
if they cover the number, if they win by 10 points over UCF,
I don't think I can answer that question quite that simply, because I'm going to need to see their offense play well. If they came out and had like a defensive, if they just looked so great on defense and
the defense hasn't looked well either. I mean,
and wins the game 17-10, that's not going to ease my stomach. I need to see that offense play well. Yeah. If K-State has any chance to get back to where we thought they would be, it's going to be because their offense is significantly better than it's been so far. So not only would I need to see them win, that would help, but I need to see their offense look good if it's going to make me more comfortable with what K-State is doing. I have no confidence in that, and they're going to have to win that back a little bit. I think that's the reality. Like, how could you have any confidence in anything for K-State?
I can't. It's really a question.
Like, do you think they have the ability to? I think is the question. I still am going to kind of cling to. I don't even want to say I think they have the ability to. I hope they have the ability to.
This is the definition of like a K-State basketball situation that we've seen for decades, where it's like, man, this K-State team really stinks on the court. And then they play number 2 Kansas and they play like world beater. Like, that's going to happen this year against somebody. Like, they might be 2-7 and then beat the brakes off somebody. Like,
They figure it out. I'm not quite ready to close the book on that, but it's about as close as it can be. I mean, we're only four games in? Yep. We're only 4 games in. And it could not look worse. They should be 0-4 with losses to Army and to North Dakota. Like, sure, it's not just bad, it is catastrophically bad. So I'm not downplaying how bad it is. I'm just holding out hope in a couple local kids who are supremely talented that I just want to see be successful.
That's the worst part, you know, because we got so many Wichita ties into this team where you just root so freaking hard for them. Yes. And it's like, oh no, this is the K-State team that they're going to be on. That sucks.
Well, and they need to, I mean, let's be fair to it. They're college players now. They're getting paid, all these things. They need to and must be better than they've been. Period. Sure. Period.
I mean, the Wichita kids are some of the most integral parts of the team. Like, they've got, like, we got, like, six Wichita starters on the team.
Yes, it's a lot. Cincinnati is playing Kansas. So, the total opposite of K-State for KU. I don't think there's anybody in the world that's not happy or pleased with the way that Kansas has looked so far. How could you not be? They are winning games in ways that winning teams fight. They look like a K-State team, TJ, honestly, where you look at it and you're like, man, how did they win that game by that much? And it's, well, because they played great special teams and they didn't make any mistakes and they took advantage of opportunities. And like, they're playing a brand of football. Leipold's doing an incredible job. Jalen Daniels looks like the Jalen Daniels that came into a season as a Big 12 preseason player of the year. Efficient, no mistakes, can kill you when the time comes. As far as this game against Cincinnati, KU is at home. They're favored by 5.5. Cincinnati is probably fine. They have, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, they had the close game against Nebraska. I think Nebraska on a neutral field, I'm fine with that performance. And then they followed it up with big wins in the last 2 weeks at home. Now they go on the road for this game. I guess you gotta lean into KU here, don't you? We'll make the picks on Friday. KU's tricky to figure in a good way, right? KU's good. They're a little more difficult to figure out because they have won these games by often big margins. But even if you go back to the West Virginia game and you're just looking at it, you're like, oh man, on paper, like they, you know, 388 yards of offense. How'd they get to 41 points? Like all of these things that are fun to see, but it's because you have a kick return touchdown, and it's because your defense played out of this world and did all of these things. That's how you do that. And if they can be great, TJ, on special teams and on defense, I think they can find enough on offense in a game where Jalen Daniels only needs to throw for 138 yards to be good.
That's the thing that's kind of perplexing about KU right now, is that they are 3-1. And like, I mean, I'm riding the high of it. Like, I think that they're awesome. I think that they're a really good football team. And the expectations have just kind of kept growing and kept growing this season as we've watched them more and more, because nobody knew anything about this team that we always keep saying. But the thing is, I mean, they've beaten Fresno State, Wagner, played a good 30 minutes against Mizzou that you're kind of basing everything off of. Like, that's where all the expectations come from. And then you beat the brakes off West Virginia, who is probably going to be bottom three of the Big 12. They lost to Miami of Ohio. So, like, Ohio University, excuse me, not Miami of Ohio. So everything that you're basing this KU start around on is the fact that they scored 21 unanswered at Mizzou and then lost the game. Like, you don't know still. Like, this is going to be a pretty good litmus test, I think. Like, I think that Cincinnati's better than West Virginia is. But you don't know about anything about Cincinnati either. Like, they need to play.
Well, we saw Cincinnati. Look, we saw Cincinnati play Nebraska at least.
Yeah.
Like, we do know a little something about Cincinnati, and that they're not a pushover. Like, Cincinnati looks like they'll be okay. At least we got to see them. But you're right about KU. They're doing this, and they've taken advantage of a soft schedule early on. There's no question about that. They've done exactly what they needed to do. We are basing it off of playing Mizzou tight and being in control at times. Here's the reality for KU. They get Cincinnati, then they got to go on the road and back-to-back weeks to UCF, to Texas Tech. Then they get K-State. They still have a road game against Iowa State. They still get to play Utah. We're going to find out, right? We're going to find out. And do they need to be better offensively? Maybe. But if they can be an all three phases team, like if they can be that old school K-State team where they're always going to beat you in special teams, they're going to be efficient, they're not going to make mistakes, they're not going to turn the ball over, they're not going to have a ton of penalties, I do think they have enough offense to be really dangerous in the Big 12 this year. I would never. They're at minimum going to be a team nobody wants to play every single week that they play. Can they string together enough wins to be contenders? I don't know about that yet. I've got to see. This game is going to tell us more than any game besides Missouri, and I'm ready for it. These are two fun games this weekend, both 11 o'clock kicks. Like, you get them on. Like, this is going to be a fun weekend of college football, I think, for us.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Yeah, but like you said, that schedule, you're going to get answers in the next 3 weeks, basically. Cincinnati, UCF, and then a bye, then K-State. But, I mean, that Texas Tech game on the road is going to be like, give me a handicap. What do you think the spread is of that at Tech?
They'll probably be 6 or 7 point dogs.
Okay. Touchdown underdog.
Tech's defense, it looks like it could be out of this world. TJ, the injuries continue to pile up across the NFL. We saw Mike Evans go down. We saw CeeDee Lamb go down. Lamb looks like he won't play for a little while. That wasn't it for the Cowboys. Tyler Booker, one of their starting offensive linemen, is out 6 weeks. We saw Nick Bosa tear his ACL. He is now out for the season in that one. It has been a lot in the NFL this year, even by NFL standards. I think it has to be something we think about when we're talking about contenders in the league. And as we talk about the Chiefs and you see all of these injuries all over the league, the Chiefs are down some players. They had their bad one in week one. If they can get Worthy back and Worthy's healthy, though, all things considered, they have been able to play through the first 3 weeks and stayed pretty healthy. Obviously, the Worthy one's the big one, but his diagnosis ended up being a little better than we anticipated.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs fans are knocking on wood after you said that, but I agree. You know, they outside of the Worthy injury, I think that they have been pretty healthy, haven't lost anything massive, which is basically the biggest optimism thing that we keep saying as well, is that week six or week seven, like, barring anything happening, like, that should be what the team that you're going to see. Like, you're not waiting on anything else. Like, that's the team that you're going to see.
And it won't. So, they'll have injuries between now and week seven.
Yeah. I mean, but that's the team that you want to see on the field, ideally. So, but yeah, it was a big week for injuries. That 49ers one, the Nick Bosa one, just perplexes me even more of what they've got going on over there, because they've got Mac Jones as their quarterback right now. They don't have Brandon Ayuk on the field either, that is going to miss time from an injury from last year, and now they don't have Nick Bosa all year. So, 49ers, I mean, they...
Juwan Jennings has been out. They're walking wounded right now.
Yeah.
Which is what happened to them last year. It's not going to happen for them this year. I mean, it's just not. Too many injuries for them to overcome at this point. But they'll still be good. And McCaffrey's still a great player. I mean, what is the most influential injury, do you think, that we've seen thus far this year? I think the Cowboys not having those two players is going to turn them into a totally different team.
It's true, but
they're just they're not some contender or anything, I don't think. But as far as them being a good team to them not being a good team, of the new ones we've seen, I think that could be as impactful for the next few weeks. The most significant injury of the season is unquestionably Joe Burrow.
Yeah, absolutely. Cowboys already had their problems anyways, but it definitely doesn't help the fact that you're not going to have CeeDee Lamb for at least a couple of weeks.
He's everything for their offense.
I'm a CeeDee Lamb fantasy owner, just invested a lot in that trade. That kind of punches you in the gut a little bit. But yeah, I mean, that offense leaves question. I mean, you saw Pickens throwing his helmet yesterday and dropping passes, and now he's your number one receiver, because you don't have CeeDee Lamb for a couple of weeks. Javonte has actually been a pretty good running back for them so far, but I mean, there's just so many questions about what that offense is going to be. That Thanksgiving Day game, the Chiefs go down there, it's going to look a lot different than what we may have thought it was going to look like. It's going to see its struggles, and I know that you're more locked in on the Cowboys than I am, but I can't imagine there's a lot of optimism right now.
Are you telling me CeeDee Lamb? I mean, George Pickens is a little disgruntled.
I can't believe that there's going to be off the field issues with George Pickens.
Who saw that coming in the NFL? Let's look ahead to the week four. We talked Chiefs Ravens. That's going to be the headliner. Seahawks Cardinals Thursday night. You kidding me? How good does that look right now? The Cardinals shouldn't have, you know, they lost to San Francisco. That was disappointing, or they'd be out to a 3-0 start.
Sam Darnold looks good.
That game looks good. 43.5 points is that early line. Anybody get, you think the over on Thursday night with as bad as the Cardinals offense has looked? I don't know. I might take the, I almost never bet the over because I hate them. Unless you're trying to get under like a 55 or something.
Yeah. We get Sunday morning football this week too.
Who's that?
We get Sunday morning football, Viking Steelers in Dublin. I didn't realize that was this week.
Man, I wish McCarthy was playing. If McCarthy was playing, I'd be pretty excited about that game.
I love the idea of the Sunday morning. I think that they should do, like, obviously it's insane to think about, but like if you could have one Sunday morning game each week, like
it's too much. I like doing
it's
it.
It's too much on the teams, but for a guy.
No, I think couch, it's too it's much awesome. As a fan. I like it as a novelty still. I like having it occasionally. I do. I like to set my watch to Sundays and have a routine. And like that includes, for a lot of folks, it includes church maybe, or maybe that sure. goes on Saturday night. But then after that, it's like for me, it's usually a trip to the grocery store, get everything ready, get home from that, get all my bets primed up, and then 10:30 hits and you get an active list. Okay, let me make sure we're clear there. Let me get all the fantasy football teams set. And then you work through that process, and it's about kickoff time. And then for me, I go red zone, and I just start cooking food all day. Like maybe I have a Bloody Mary while I'm cooking, watching football, watching red zone. And then usually you get the Chiefs in the late window, and it's like, all right, it's time to flip over now and turn to Chiefs mode and just kind of chill and do. I like to – so having that 8:30 does throw off my routine a little bit.
That's fair.
But I like it. I like it as a novelty.
Yeah, I'd miss a lot of football. That's what's so hard about consuming college football is that, like, we do the picks and everything like that, and then it's just like, yeah, what'd you think of Ohio State last week? It's like, well, I didn't tune into Ohio State versus Iowa, like, or whoever.
Didn't watch them. No, I'm the same way. And on this show, we've never made any bones about that. Like, there are college games that we stumble into, and we'll talk about those. For the most part, though, it's KU, it's K-State, it's Big 12, and it's not much else because you don't have time, right? We're working, we're doing all these things. I've got three kids, and they're all playing sports. Like, we watch the games we need to watch, and if we can get into it. But the NFL, typically, I watch all of it.
I try to.
That's kind of my thing. It is a big week. You got Eagles Bucks this week. Looks fantastic, right? You've got Colts Rams. Looks fantastic thus far. Of course, we mentioned Ravens Chiefs. Packers Cowboys is going to get a lot of run. The Cowboys are going to get smacked in that game without CeeDee Lamb. Unfortunately for us Cowboys fans, you get terrible Monday night football game in the Jets Dolphins. I don't know how interesting Bengals Broncos can be. The Browning experiment in week two was not good, although it was not all his fault. The Bengals, everybody on that team was making mistakes against the Vikings. I would anticipate a bounce back to some degree. But the Broncos are feeling pretty desperate now. Back-to-back games, they lose on game-winning field goals. So there's a lot this week that I think we can get excited about. There are plenty of games, and they're all spread over the different windows. So week four should be good. It should be a good week. And it's going to be the week everybody starts making money in the NFL. Anybody making money yet in the NFL? The NFL, for me, it's like you'll have two or three weeks a year where you'll make a ton of money, and then the rest of them you're just trying to skate by. I'm skating by right now. I'm probably a little less than skating by right now, if I'm being perfectly honest.
The NFL just drains me, I feel like. I always you can make a lot of money on the NFL, but I lose a ton on the NFL. Like, I always feel like what I'm saying is, like, college football keeps it level, and then I just – always just lose it all on Sunday, or maybe I'll get, like, that's where I make the money. But I like the player props in the NFL are always the best, just because of touchdown scores, of how diverse they can be, and the parlays you can do there. But I'm terrible at picking games, man. And you can tell in the standings on Friday. I went 0-4 this week.
Everybody's terrible at picking NFL games. Also on our picks, and it's never reflective of my wallet, and I would be having a great year because I always try to find the most difficult games to pick.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
not like, ooh, I have a good feeling about this game. I'm going to put it in the picks. It's like, no, these are either headline games or they're interesting because they're impossible to pick. That's why we put them in there. So that's not a good exercise. The thing about the NFL, and I don't like player props in college, I don't like at all, but making the parlays and all that, but player prop, that's what makes the NFL fun to me.
Yeah.
And that's where you can maybe make a little money. Nobody's making money picking games. I don't think it's the other stuff. Like, where can you find a read? I mean, if Zay Flowers doesn't lay an egg in the first half last night, that would have been a very fruitful game for me. I hit every other part of it on every other bet that I had. Yeah. It's just Zay Flowers was a non-factor in the first half. And so it goes. I had him in every piece of the different bets that I have, and he just didn't have a good game. And that's the way it is. But 38-30, that should be a game we're making money on. That's what sucks about it. You get 38-30, you got to make money with 38-30.
Yeah. Speaking of props, a little fantasy talk here. Get Jacobs in the guillotine league. We had the 32-team guillotine league cooking that last night. That Brady, producer at K-Witch, was safe until the Jahmyr Gibbs touchdown in the second half and then kicked him out of the league. And then my wife, playing fantasy football for the first time ever, stayed up last night because she was up by 1 point heading into the fourth quarter, stayed up to watch, and lost because of that last-second Mark Andrews touchdown. And I was like, welcome to fantasy football, Gabby.
At least she wasn't in a guillotine league that cuts her out. My wife has a team. She's been in a league for a long time. I help her with it. She's not happy with it. She hasn't been good for a couple of years. And my wife she does not stay interested in things she's not good at for very long. And if she doesn't think she's going to be good at it, she has no interest. She came into that and won in the league, like either first 2 years it existed or the first 3 years. That's the worst thing that could have ever happened. Because now everybody's like, well, I didn't win it. And I'm like, it's really hard to win a fantasy football league. Like, you got to be lucky. You got to be good. You got to be lucky. You got to have good timing. Like, it's really hard to win one. And she just won't have. She's like, so she's not quite as locked in right now as she once was. I love that.
My fantasy teams need some work. I got, how many leagues you in, Jacob? 10?
Yeah,
you probably have some astronomical number.
There was a point in time. It was probably right when we first moved here, and I used to be I'm only going to be in like two leagues because it's too much to keep up with. The problem with that theory is there are too many different groups of people, you know, and you want to like join in on the fun of that. So you've got like, I've got the leagues that I've been in literally for 30 years now. I've got those, and those are the ones that I lock into. But then, like, we're in one with other people in the media around town. You've got ones like your 32-team, two-quarterback guillotine league, which, like, yeah, that sounds like too much fun not to do that. You've got all these different. So how are you going to say no to those? So yeah, by the end of the day, you end up and you're in like, man, I'm in 10 leagues. Like, it's waiver claim day today. As soon as we get off the air, I'm going to feverishly make sure I check all my teams and put in waiver claims. So I can take like an hour. That's what we do, though. We're degenerates, as you like to call it. Sure. It is what it is. All right, well, that does it for a Tuesday edition of Sports Daily. Looking forward to the midweek edition. We will get Shreya Salata in to help us scout Cincinnati, get a feel for KU. Looking forward to that conversation. We'll also have Kevin Saul in, Wichita State Athletic Director. Shocker Madness right around the corner. What's the latest there, and what are Shocker Volleyball's chances to reach the NCAA tournament? We'll go over it all tomorrow. TJ?
Busy week covering KU Saturday, covering Chiefs on Sunday. Lots to talk about, lots to get to.
It's that time of year. We'll see everybody tomorrow. For Max, for TJ, I'm Jacob. See you then.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet, bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet, bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.